You're listening to The Breakfast Show at Faith FM, and I'm Joseph Skeff. I'm here in the studio in the beautiful Currumbong with Shell and Brett.
Hey, hey. How's it going?
It's great. We have our Bible study section now. Mm. Encounters with God.
Yeah.
But first, a few things. Number one, I want still to know from our listeners, what is your most treasured belonging? Now, I'm not talking about your family. I'm not talking about anything spiritual. I'm talking about a physical object.
Yeah. We know these things pass away.
Yeah. Do you have anything?
Something cool. Like, what's something cool that you have that you're proud of?
Yes. And I'm going to ask you, Brett, what is your treasured project? Because you're a history person.
Yeah.
So you have a few interesting things, I believe, and I am assuming. But first, we want to give our listeners the opportunity to send us an answer for a Bible quiz. Mm. Yes. What is quiz number four?
Question number four is a bit of a long one. What biblical figure reveals faithfulness to God amidst trials and adversity? So in this particular case, multiple correct answers are possible. If it's a bit of an obscure figure, give us a bit of a justification, you know, give us an explanation of why you think this particular biblical figure reveals faithfulness to God amidst trials and adversity.
And I hope that Kanye West will be listening to this show so that he can learn from our listeners as well. Hmm. But now, 0491-064-669, if you know any biblical figure that has revealed endurance, faithfulness, patience amidst trials and adversity, please do send your message. And now I'm going to ask Brett. Brett, do you have a thing, an object that you treasure?
Man, there's a few. There's quite a few things that I quite like. I'm pretty proud of having a suit of armor, but I think there's one thing that...
An actual suit of armor?
I have an actual suit of armor. Not like a historic one, but like
metal?
A remake of one. Yeah, it's chainmail. So it's actual, like, heaps of interlocking chain rings.
Is it heavy?
About 20 kgs, the actual chainmail bit. And then I've got two helmets, actually. I swap them. I've got an open-faced one and a closed-faced one. I used to do fighting. I used to actually do medieval combat, full metal medieval combat as a sport. We used blunted swords, so we didn't actually lop off any limbs. But I that was something I used to like quite a lot. I stopped it when I had my oldest daughter. She's four now. I just wanted to – it took a bit of time. And
that
I wanted to be with family, but I still have the armor lying around. And back when I was a history teacher, it was a useful little thing.
I think that next time that Brett comes, if we have a camera, we will want you, Brett, to come dress in your full suit of armor.
I'm not sure how much noise will that make if you're trying to talk on the radio.
I'm happy to take
this picture.
Can we do it like evening show and call it the night show, but we spell it with a K, like night, and I'm there in armor the whole time.
I believe that our listeners would want to see you perhaps making an entire show dressed in your medieval suits. But what about you, Shell? Do you have any object that you treasure above others?
There's a bunch, I guess, but all of them are still family-related items. So, like, my father's dog tags, he gave them to me when I moved to Australia.
So was your father in the military?
He was, yeah.
Wow.
You don't get them unless you're in the military.
Yeah. What did he do?
So, he was a medic in the Vietnam War.
Wow. He has seen some stuff, I bet.
Mm. Yeah. And so, he gave me his dog tags when I moved here. And so that was like right after I just got married. And so when my oldest son, who is a history buff and all things military, especially all of the world wars and the wars he loves, he's a strategist. When he got married, I gave the dog tags to him.
Oh, wow.
So they're not actually my treasure anymore, but I gave them to him and just wrote a really long letter and he read it. We both bawled our eyes out. It's just, it was a really, really special thing to pass down.
That's amazing.
That's really cool.
I actually used to have one as well when I was young. So mine is actually now a lost treasure because my father, when I was young, he gave me something that his father gave to him, which was a little ring with a little, green stone to it. It was like a child's sort of a ring. And I was in Brazil. My father grew up in Lebanon. So, but I wore this ring very proudly at school, even though a lot of colleagues were bullying me, saying, who uses rings? This is for girls and everything like that. For some reason, I just didn't care too much. And so, you know what? I'm going to use it. I just find it's nice. It's beautiful. Unfortunately, I lost it. I do not know where it is. So if I find it, I will tell you. But to me, if I think of one object that I have in my heart, so it's now only lives in my memory, but that's my treasured object. I remember of my father, my late father. Now, I'd like to listen from you. What about you, listener? Do you have something that you have inherited from your mother, your grandfather, your grandparents? Is it something that you found in the street? Is this something that you just bought, but you look at that and it just brings you joy? Let us know. Write and whatever text your treasured physical object to 0491-064-669. And you can let us know as well, why is it important to you? But now, let's study and open the word. Oh, before that, we haven't reminded our listeners about the prize, have we, Brett?
We did, yeah. So basically, the prize is God Cares. It's a 2-volume set delving deep into the books of Daniel and Revelation and how to understand those books and the prophecies in them and how to apply them essentially to our lives today, why they are still relevant, topical, particularly relevant and topical for our current era. So
fantastic. So there's no, we don't mind if your answer is right or you don't mind if your answer is wrong, as long as you're participating and trying. That's what we value. But now coming to our encounter with God, our 20 million movement, where every day we open the Word of God and we try to understand it so that it can be part of our lives. Now, people can download the Sabbath School app, Sabbath with 2 B's and a T-H, in the App Store of Google, and you can download it for absolutely free. We're looking at the Psalms in our study guide for the 20 million movement. And today we want to read with you Psalm 96. We're talking about worship. And for a lot of people, Brett, worship is about singing. And while praise is an expression of worship, while it is part of it, it's not the entire picture.
100%. I think it's been, to some extent, at the risk of going on a history soapbox, an overcorrection of history. You know, the Catholic Church made so many things about worship that it became clutter and it became works-based, and in many cases it became outright heretical, right? But sometimes I think, yeah, you're right, we can reduce worship down to, yeah, we sing some songs, then we have a sermon, and that's that. But worship is actually a really deep topic to delve into.
It's a deep topic, and for a number of religions, worship is about doing certain things and rituals. And the problem with that is that sometimes they become an end in and of themselves. And when we look at the story behind the word worship, both in Greek, proskuneo, and in Hebrew, hava, what we see is that worship means to bow down, to surrender, to surrender your life, to surrender your thoughts, to acknowledge, to respect God, to really to spend time with, is really to have a lifestyle where everything that you do, either you eat or whether you drink, you're doing things for the ultimate glory of God.
100%.
And as a result of that, you're doing things that are ultimately beneficial for humanity. But when you're serving God, we are automatically serving humanity.
Yeah.
By that. So, Psalm 96, it starts like this. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim good tidings of his salvation from day to day. So Psalm 96 starts encouraging us to sing a new song. We spoke about that. We spoke about how God continues to do things. We can not only praise God for the things that he has done 2,000 plus years ago, but for the things that he continues to do in the world today.
And we're seeing like two trends in those first two verses, right? We're seeing that worship does include singing. Like what we were saying earlier isn't to discount singing. Singing to the Lord is a form of worship, as is praising his name. Like actually praising God for the good news of, like, I love that, bless his name, proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. It's worshiping, it's praising his name and proclaiming the goodness of his truth.
Exactly. Yeah. So proclaiming the good tidings, this is the very word that we have translated as gospel later on. Now, do you know what the word gospel is? Do you know the etymology of the word gospel, Brett?
I know it means good news. I wouldn't be familiar with the etymology.
It comes from God spell.
Okay.
God being good in Old English, and spell being a story. So it's a good story or a good news.
Interesting.
That's where the word comes from. Yeah. And in the Old Testament, this is the glad tidings we're talking about. So what this psalm is actually telling us is that worshiping God is not only praising him and singing to him, but also telling the good news about who he is, what he's going to do to other people. But we're going to get more on that.
You're listening to The Breakfast Show. Connect with us on 0491 064 669.
Is that...
So, we're continuing with Psalm 96. Yeah, anyway, basically, we've just been talking about, for those who might just be tuning in, we've been just reading over verses 1 and 2 and looking at worship and how that includes singing to the Lord and, you know, praising his name. And we've just started talking about the gospel and what that actually is. So, you know, proclaiming the good news, proclaiming the gospel of his salvation from day to day. It's a really important thing to do.
So let's keep reading. Brett, what says verse 3?
Yeah, verse 3 says, declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all peoples.
Let's pause here. I love how the Jews did not see their God, their religion, as something exclusive just to keep among themselves.
Not at this point, hey?
No, they're saying, all the earth, let's sing to God.
Yeah.
Let us declare to the nations, to those who are not, let us, this is an act of worship.
Yeah.
This is an act of worship, telling other people, even that those who have a different belief system, a different faith, to tell them about the good news about God, how he is, how his plan for rescuing us, for rescuing the world, to solve the problem of death, to solve the problem of injustice. He says, as we share that, as we witness to other people, this is an act of worship. Now, of course, you know, this is something that I'd like to say. You know, because sometimes Christians can come across as preachy, and sometimes that can be inconvenient. And the Bible says that if we are to love, love is not inconvenient. Love does not behave unbecomingly.
Yeah.
1 Corinthians chapter 13. So how do we find the tone? In one hand, to announce the good news about God, but in other hands, maybe people are not, you know, interested in listening. What has been your experience with that, Brett? How do you bridge that gap?
It can be a tricky one, and I've found that it can depend on the individual. Because on one hand, we don't want to Bible bash, right? We don't want to want to go so hardcore that we actually put people off. But at the same time, there is a clear mandate in the Gospels about sharing the word. We have to share the word. Faith, our faith is not something that we can hide away and keep personal and never share. Sometimes it's about what I find, honestly, is every time I want to share the gospel with somebody, I pray about it and pray that God will show me how to do it. And I found more often than not, he'll lead those conversations. So, yeah, I've got a mate who's pretty anti-spiritual things. And many times I used to go, like, do workouts with him and stuff. But actually,
medieval jousts. Have you jousted him already?
Well, funnily enough, he used to do like a form of like Japanese sword fighting, and I used to do like my medieval stuff, and we did used to like beat each other up with sticks in his.
So he's a good friend.
He's a good mate.
He's still your friend after all these battles.
Absolutely.
But you know.
But yeah, praying beforehand. It's amazing the opportunities that God will actually give you to share these spiritual things and talk about it. Yeah,
that's good. You know, it reminds me one good tip. You know. Before we talk to people about God, we should talk to God about people.
Yes.
Ooh, pray and say, God, like, can you help me? You know, is there anything that I can say to bless that person? But I'll tell you, I'll also ask this other question to you. Shell, do you have pets? Do you like cats? I heard that you might have something with cats.
Cats?
Do you like them?
No.
Okay. What about lions?
False rumors circulating here at Faith FM.
I said a thing. Didn't say positive or negative. A thing.
Yeah, I have strong feelings about cats.
Okay. Look, how do you defend a lion?
How do you defend a lion?
Yeah.
Does a lion need defending?
Exactly. You just let him be. You don't need defending. And I think it's the same thing with God, you know? And I think that a lot of times we try to become just like Job's friends and we try to defend God and be advocates of God, but God has never called us to be advocates. He called us to be witnesses. So I think that one of the best ways, instead of trying to defend God, starting to win an argument, I think that one of the very best ways of proclaiming the good news to people is through the form of a testimony, of a witnessing. You can say how that, whatever is truth from the Bible, how that has changed your life. Because your testimony, nobody can ever argue with. So if you're coming from a perspective of a conversation, an exchange where you're hearing the other side, and then you're sharing, and then you're witnessing what you have seen, what God has shown to you, what have you experienced? It's a great way to proclaim the good news without becoming Bible bashing and so on. Of course, we'll gauge on the audience. You have to look, have to perceive, you know, is that person interested in what I have to say? But I believe that if this is something that you genuinely believe, this is something that you have genuinely experienced, I believe that most of the time people are open to hear it from your perspective. And, absolutely. You know, the Bible says that it is the Holy Spirit's job to convince of truth. So our job is to be a witness, to tell the things that we have seen, the things that we have experienced, and the Holy Spirit will be the one talking to people's conscience and saying, you know what, this is true. I want you to experience that as well.
Yeah. And it's amazing. The power of testimonies is mind-blowing. I was at an event recently I study theology here at Avondale, actually, here at Avondale University, Australia's newest university, worth checking out. But there was this this event for the seminary students, and it was like a testimony Sabbath, and we met together, and a few people shared testimonies. And it's amazing to see. It blew my mind how God works. About four people shared the testimonies. It's amazing to see how God works very differently for different people, because God is trying to restore his relationship right with each of us. And the four stories were so different, but there was like God's presence and God's guiding was so clear in all of them. And sharing testimonies, encourage you to do it, just to our listeners generally. Yeah. Whatever your testimony is, I think some people think that you need like a big whiz bang, sort of went from like gangster to pastor sort of story. I don't think that's the case. Even a story of being raised in the church and being brought up with these good values and deciding, wow, the values of my parents have value to me. That's a great testimony in and of itself.
Absolutely. But when I say testimony, when I say witnessing, I'm not only talking about like your personal history, even though I am talking about that. I'm talking even about things that you learn from the Bible. Jesus says, you know, go make disciples and teach them all the things that I have been teaching you. Yeah. When you look at big moments in the Bible where the apostle Peter is preaching to the multitudes, what he's doing is he is witnessing what he has experienced. That Jesus Christ, he said to a multitude, whom you have crucified, was a chosen man from God who died, who resurrected, who is sitting at the right hand of God. And then people ask, what shall we do? And Peter said, well, you know, repent and believe in him. In other words, if I were you, the right attitude before all of that, if you want to know what's the right thing to do, is to repent.
Yeah.
To surrender, to submit, and to accept Jesus as Lord.
I guess what I'm saying is like a personal encounter with God.
A personal encounter
is so valuable, and that's often through the Word. And sharing that Word can give people a personal encounter. Absolutely.
And I believe that pretty much anything can be shared from that lens of, hey, I am sharing with you what I have learned, what God has taught, what it is written in the Bible, and how that has impacted my life for the better. How that has encouraged me, how that has given me confidence and assurance in the scriptures. So when we approach from that perspective of I am witnessing, I am sharing, I'm being a witness about what God has done for me, what God has showed, what God has written, it's automatically we became in a less combative mode than, hey, I'm here to prove that you're wrong.
100%.
And I am right. Because at the moment that we do this, for a lot of people, what happens is that our frontal lobes, they shut down and we are in survival mode. We're not thinking clearly. If people believe that there's a threat to what they believe or they're going to be wrong, a lot of people will absolutely shut down and they're not going to listen to a word that you say. So if whatever it is, share it. From your perspective, what is it that you have learned?
That personal witness is important in that sense. And I'm saying like the personal impact the gospel has had on you even, because like I agree with what you're saying. When I first became a Christian, especially when I first became like a baptized Christian and I was really getting into Bible study and stuff, I went through a phase like as a new Christian where I was on fire, right? But I love debates. Like when I was in high school, I loved debating. I'm still a fan of debates and I still get caught up in them really easily if I'm not careful. But I joined like every possible online forum I could and I was trying to debunk what I saw as wrong expressions of Christianity. You know, I was there trying to prove my points and argue. Never got a convert out of it. And I think that's because, like it's about the spirit, right? I was coming out there, I was ready for battle.
That's right.
But it's not a battle in that sense. It's a labor of service and a labor of love.
And there is a space. There is a space for debates. There is a space. You know, the Bible says, you know, for us to be ready to give an answer, and to explain the reason of our faith. But I honestly believe that better than trying to argue or bashing someone about it it is better if I say the exact same thing.
Yeah.
But from a perspective of, hey, this is what I've seen.
I don't think it's a good first step. I think when you build that relationship and you're having those discussions, people are more likely to listen to a friend than a random on the internet.
Yeah. Asking questions like, what about this? What about that? So there are, I believe, very, very intelligent, clever ways for us to be witnesses and proclaiming the good news of how God has been merciful to you, how God has helped you in your journey. Mm. And when we say that, I will share some story. In the next segment, I will share a very interesting story about that, a conversation that I had.
You're listening to the Breakfast Joe podcast on Faith FM, positively different.
Our encounter with God.
Mm.
But first, we have a question that we want to ask our listeners.
Mm,
question number five. What is it, Brett?
The final question. So this is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, is found in what book of the Bible? So the verse, pretty famous verse, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Which book of the Bible is it found in? As a hint, it's New Testament, and it's somewhere in the Pauline epistles, as in the letters written by the Apostle Paul. But which letter? Which letter will we find? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Fantastic. And if they know the answer, if they don't know the answer, and they can still text something, some book of the New Testament.
Yeah, have a crack at it. Correct answers.
Where
get in
would
the draw.
They send these answers to, Brett?
Yeah, 0491-064-669 is our text line. So once again, that number, 0491-064-669. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me is found in what book of the Bible? Which Pauline epistle? Give it a go. Like, as Joseph said, have a crack at it. Every correct answer on our quiz, everyone, you don't have to answer questions 1 to 5 correctly. You just have to answer one correct answer is one entry, 1 point on our spinny wheel of victory, of triumph, whatever we want to call it. And yeah, you go in the running to win, this time two books. It's actually a 2-volume set. It's called God Cares. And it's delving into the books of Daniel and Revelation, which is so important for us today. But it's time for us to get back into our study.
It is.
Before you do, just to clarify between the two of you, because you're kind of saying different things there as far as the correct answers go, I am more on Brett's side, but I'm half on your side, Joseph, in that if people text in the wrong answer, I will guide them to the correct answer so that they can get the correct answer still if they don't know it.
Okay, perfect.
But only correct answers can go in.
Only correct answers.
If you don't know it and you want help, I'll help you.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you need a hint,
If you need a hint, you can text the word hint and we'll give you a special hint. Is that?
That's fair enough. Yeah.
One of the ways we can do that. Okay.
Yeah. But that's for our people who don't study the Bible on a regular basis. This is a little help for our listeners who are just learning how to look into the Bible.
Perfect.
If you are a regular church attendee, no hints for you. You need to be
find your way.
Studying deep into the Bible every day. And you know that's a way for you to discipline yourself. But for those people who don't know the Bible and are wanting a little bit of help on how to dig into the Bible, then we are here to help you.
That's absolutely right. So if you don't know, you just can send us a text saying, I don't know. And that's great. We want to hear from you, either you know the right answer or not, and we're going to help you get these right answers as well so you can learn and grow in your knowledge of the Bible and of Jesus.
Mm.
And another thing as well, I'm wondering, do any of our listeners have any object that they prize?
Mm.
Anything that they have inherited? Anything that is interested, send us a message to 0491-064-669, and we want to know what is it, an object that you have at home that you really treasure. It's really special to you. Perhaps to the rest of the world, no particular value.
Mm.
But for you, yes, it has such a symbolic meaning for you.
Mm.
So now coming back to our encounter with God, studying the book of Psalms, we're looking at Psalm chapter 96, and we're looking at what is the nature of worship, different ways you can worship. There is a very interesting way to worship in verse 9. Look at that, verse 9, Brett. Can you read for us?
I worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth.
All right. What version are you reading from?
I'm reading from the New King James Version.
New King James Version. Well, I'm reading from the New American Standard Version, and it says, worship the Lord in holy attire.
Mm.
And you know what? I actually think that the way that we dress ourselves also is a form of worship.
Yeah, well, it's like I've had it explained to me that it's like we're going to meet the king when we're going to church, right? We're going to meet the king, so you dress for the occasion. So it's good to dress nicely and well.
It is. Look, this is where I understood this subject. This is where I came to. Sometimes people make it a big deal and they end up driving people away from the Lord by saying, oh, you shouldn't be here because you're not wearing the right clothes. This is wrong. Don't do this. And if someone has ever done this to you, please accept my apologies on their behalf. At the same time, God wants us to be transformed in every single area of our lives. And one of the good things about God is that he gave his best for us. So it is only fitting that we also give our best to God. So this is what I like to tell people. When you're coming to the church, just, you know, ask yourself, what is the best way? How can I dress my best? In a way that, you know, it's going to be pleasing to God, in a way that is modest, that I'm not, you know, drawing excessive attention to myself, because that's not the point. We're not here to draw attention to ourselves. We're here to draw attention to Jesus.
Yeah.
But, you know, ask ourselves, you know, because God accepts this as an act of worship. So I don't want to tell you what is acceptable, what is not acceptable, but I want to tell you, you know, it's good when you go to the church, say, you know what, I'm dressing my best. If you're going out with a date with a special someone, aren't you going to dress your best?
100%.
So why is not God not worthy and deserved, and the people in our communities also deserve to see us in our best?
Yeah.
And you know what, when we dress in our best, we feel good as well.
Can I read on?
Yes,
well,
please.
Verse 10, I think, is really cool. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. He shall judge the peoples righteously. And like what this shows to me is that it sort of backs up what we're talking about with like verse 3 as well, I believe. But worship, proclaiming his name, proclaiming God's name to the nations, is itself worship. Like, I love that. I guess I hadn't thought of it that way until studying this, that evangelism itself is inherently one of the greatest acts of worship we can do. Just spreading, talking about God to people, whatever that may, just proclaiming his name.
Absolutely.
I love that. I just think that's a really cool point to mention, that just, and that could be in big ways, like doing an actual sermon or something like that, or it can be in little ways, like just sharing with someone how God has changed your life, or telling someone about a Bible verse that might help them through a time of trouble. You know, proclaiming God's name to the nations is inherently
an act of worship. Yes, yeah. I love that. In verse 8, ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name, bring an offering and come into his courts. This verse is talking about offerings as a form of worship. And that's, I guess, one of the traditional forms of worship. But I want to share something that I learned about offerings. You know, offerings, they're not about a quantity, Brett. They are about quality.
Yeah.
Back in the days, it was easier because when you and I had, let's say, bulls and goats, which ones were the offering to the Lord? The most beautiful ones.
Yeah, the best.
There's a story of a friend of mine, a pastor, who went to Africa and in a place where they still, you know, present offerings. They're a very agrarian society. And he was there at this very wealthy lady at her farm, and there was this bull, massive, immense, magnificent bull. Imagine a bull that is almost 2 meters tall.
Oh, wow.
You know, one of these very heavy bulls with a big, with a massive body. And he says, what is this bull for? What is this doing there? And she said, this is my offering to the Lord. So offerings is not about quantity. It's about quality. Offering is a gift that you say, no, you ask yourselves every week, what is the best gift that I can bring to the Lord? Because when we give gifts, we value people. So how do you know what is your best? Well, I have a practical tip. The best gift that you can offer is such as if it would be $1 more, you would, your heart will start to be begrudging. And say, no, this is too much. I don't want it. So you go, no. Take your money. Keep your money. I don't want anything that's going to make you begrudging.
Yeah.
$1 less, you say, yeah, I think I can do better. So when you find that amount, every day you go to the church, or you go to a place, you offer this offering, you give it to help someone, and you're doing it from your heart. You're saying, God, here's my best gift for you. This is an act of worship. This is saying to God, God, I am so thankful for what you have done for me.
Yeah.
You're saying to God through this gesture, God, I love you. I value you. And God says, this son, this daughter, they value me.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM. Positively different.
I'm Joseph Scaff. I am with Brett and Shell. And now it's the time for us to give you the quiz answers. But first, I actually want to ask Shell. Shell was sharing with me in the interval something quite interesting about prayer and about her radio show. Shell, can you tell us a little bit about your radio show and what did you tell me about prayer?
Okay, so every Thursday afternoon at 3:30, we have Afternoons with Shell. And I always pick a different theme each week that we're going to surround the music with. So all of the songs are going to be related to that theme. Everybody who knows me on the related to this radio station always refers to me as the woman who picks all the music. She's the music lady. So
that's right. I do not know how do you know so many songs, but that's quite impressive. Yeah. And I love that. So you have your own show where you select a theme. And there's more as well, right? Because Lyle is also in that show. He's answering biblical questions.
So for the first, so the show goes from 3:30 to 5:30. So from 3:30 to 5, we have the music theme, and then from 5 to 5:30, we have question of the day, where everybody gets to send in their biblical questions that they have, and Lyle will answer those for them and help them with their study and understanding their biblical questions. It's a really a highlight. I think I really love the questions that we get sent in, and there's always some good curly ones and some just interesting ones that that Lyle's never been asked before or whatever. And we get a chance to answer those. So if you have any questions and you want to send them through, let me just pull up the right number. Here. So 04-888-80856 is the number that you want to text in for question of the day. And we have a few that we could take in still for today. So if you want to text in 04-888-80856 with your questions. But yeah, last week we did a theme on prayers in the Bible. And you were doing that segment on Kanye West today. And so it just was reminding me of one of the prayers that we talked about, which was highlighted from Proverbs chapter 30, verses 7 through 9. But it's Agur's prayer for godliness and contentment. And he prayed this: two things I ask of you, deny them not to me before I die. Remove far from me falsehood and lying. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of the Lord. Such a powerful prayer, isn't it?
It is.
For just praying that God will give him a balance.
Just enough.
Just enough of what he needs to make him a better person.
Yes. Not too much, not too little.
Amen.
But just enough.
Thank you so much, Shell. Yeah.
So,
let's jump into our answers. Yeah. The people demand answers, and it is our time to give them. So question one was, where will the great feast of the marriage supper of the Lamb be spread? What was the answer there, Joseph?
Well, it was not Currumbong, was not Lake Macquarie, unfortunately, but it will be in a place where everybody can be, heaven. Revelation 12, verse 9.
Question two, what unique characteristic did the land of Havilah have according to Genesis? What was the answer there?
Gold.
Gold. Yes. Genesis 2:11 is where you can find that one. Question three, who was the first apostle to be martyred? It was actually James.
James.
James, the brother of John, you know, one of the two sons of thunder. James was leader of the church in Jerusalem, and he was martyred in that space.
But that James is not the brother of John, though. That James that was the leader of the church in Jerusalem was Jesus' brother.
No, the one who was the first disciple that was martyred was James, the brother of John.
Yeah, it was James, the brother of John, who died first.
Perfect.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, number James four. The Greater. Big James is the
Big
person
calls
him, but James the Greater. Yeah, go ahead, sorry.
Yes. So what biblical figure reveals faithfulness to God amidst trials and adversity? Multiple correct answers are possible. Let's share each one, you know, favorite character.
Oh, you want me to go first?
Yeah, you go first.
Oh, goody, goody, goody. Okay, Daniel. Definitely.
Yes.
I mean, every single story is just faithfulness with
the
testing for the 10 days, not compromising on diet or standards in that aspect. And then his prayer, too, is one that we highlighted last week. His prayer when the Lord answers his first prayer to be told the dream, just the way that he responds. I love that prayer. Mm-hmm. And obviously the faithfulness that he prayed no matter what and was thrown into the den of lions, and God blessed him for that. You guys, what's yours?
Mine's Paul, from the New Testament. You know, Paul, what I love about the Apostle Paul is that when he had his encounter with God, he never looked back. And he just kept persevering. Like, he went through near-death experiences on so many occasions. And even just scary situations, like both within and without of the church, like confronting one of the apostles, confronting Peter, as someone who had previously persecuted the church, you know, Paul himself had done that, would have been a bit nerve-wracking, a bit intimidating. But Paul consistently stood up to everything and proclaimed the gospel no matter what. And that's the kind of man I want to be.
Yeah. You
know? No matter what comes, I want to keep pressing on.
And that's amazing. So to me, Job was that man, because Job was in a very difficult situation, and God has called him to vindicate his name without him knowing anything. He trusted in Job's faith so much that he made him a display for the whole universe. And Job, you know, delivered. He never sinned, the Bible said. In all of that, he never blessed him. He never cursed God. So to me, he was very steadfast. He would say, you know, God, I wish I can defend myself, but you know, if you would appear to me, I would probably just would be speechless. And
better
that's what
give
happened.
The fifth answer real quick, because we're almost out
running out of time. Question five: I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, is found in Philippians 4:13. So the book of Philippians was the answer there.
Book of Philippians. Well done. Well, thank you, everyone. You're listening to The Breakfast Show at Faith FM, and our program is coming to a close, but not without giving a nice gift to our esteemed listeners.
Esteemed, I like that. Yeah, so we have a free gift today. Only one person can get this gift, though. So this is pretty awesome, but you got to get in quick. The gift is going to be Answers to Difficult Bible Texts by Joe Cruz. It has a bunch of valuable information that explains more than 100 perplexing Bible verses with an index. It's a quick and handy book that answers objections to the Bible's apparent contradictions, awkward phrasing, questionable doctrines, and many, many more challenging subjects.
That's such a great resource.
Yeah, honestly, really good. And the fact that it's got an index too, if you're struggling with a verse, you can check if it's in there, you know. So absolutely free book. All you need to do is be the first person today to text the word book to 0491-064-669. Once again, the keyword book, 0491-064-669. Get in quick, because, yeah, the prizes are going to be gone pretty quick.
And look, you know what? I think that knowing the answers to these difficult questions is something that not only enhances our faith, not only gives us greater confidence in our faith, but also, it's great when people ask, why do you believe that? Or what do you make of that? That we are able to give a recollected, calm, good answer.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. That you don't need to forget your brain if you're going to be a Christian. And that's great. So this is a fantastic resource.
Absolutely. And while the show has come to an end today, everybody, it is not the end of Faith FM's awesome programming. So stay tuned for so many good shows.
And remember to talk faith. Live faith and act faith, and you will grow strong in Jesus Christ.
God be with you till we meet again. God be with you till we meet again.
Thanks for being a part of the Faith FM family. Join our community on Facebook or get in touch at 1-800-FAITH-FM.